Show of hands, moms. How many moms are in the house? Raise your hand. Wonderful. Blessings upon you. We will be incorporating Mother's Day things in this message, but I'm not going to preach at mothers specifically today. So you can either be thankful for that or oh, nuts, I wish you would. You're getting the pass kind of today. But hang out until the end because we have something that ties in directly. Hopefully it'll be in your imagination for the rest of this week. We're going to be talking about loving God with all of your mind today. We're closing in on the end of this series. Next Sunday, you'll be talking and looking at loving God with all of your strength. We've looked at your mind and your soul, and today is your heart and your soul, and today is your mind. So before we jump into the Word, let's have a word of prayer and that God would allow us to open our minds and maybe we can lay our distractions and whatever kind of joys or anxieties that we've brought into this place, that we would lay them at His feet and let the author of our lives, the Savior of our souls, handle them, as it were. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we explore how we love You with all of our minds, I pray that You would take hold of all of our anxieties, whatever areas of stresses that we've been dealing with this past week and this weekend, whatever fears or worries that we may have coming forward in this coming week, that we would hand them over to You in a figurative way, in a mental kind of way, and say, God, would You handle this for me? May I surrender my agenda, my will to Yours. Fill this place. May Your Spirit move in this place as we discuss these words from Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. So loving God with all of your mind. Seeing as today is Mother's Day, I was mentioning earlier how for a mom, and you can correct me if I'm completely off base here afterwards, when I'm by the welcome table there, you can come up and say, no, you're totally off base. But it's my experience, it's my understanding that moms have a tendency to have a heavy dose of mind usage when you become a mom. And one of the examples, one of the prime case in points is that whenever your son or your daughter calls you on the phone and the first thing out that you hear on the receiver is, hey mom, it's me. Tell me if I'm wrong or not afterwards, but as soon as you hear those words, your brain has already created millions of different scenarios of why this person has called you, right? And you're already thinking they've run over a cow, they've lost their job, they're pregnant. I mean, you just, your brain has just gone in millions of different directions as a mom. And so we're going to talk about how do we love God with all of our minds? What does that entail? What does that encompass? So first off, our minds includes, but it is not limited to, our thoughts, our ideas, our images or beliefs. All of these things come from our minds, how we think about things. When we talk about our mind or when you talk about your mind, we use words like envision. We use words like study or remember, reason, believe. All of these words somehow come back to what we believe as our mind. And we usually think of our brain when we think of our mind. Our mind is like a muscle that is strengthened with use. The more you use your mind, the stronger it becomes. The question is this morning, what are you using to strengthen your mind? What is it that you study? What is it that you envision? When you go off someplace imagining or thinking or fantasizing, where do you go? What do you use to strengthen your mind? If I could use a current pop culture term, we could say that for some, recently, what we've been using our minds on is fake news, right? All of this information that we read on Facebook or that comes through the mail, and everybody just talks about, oh, it's fake news. And so What are we feeding this mental storehouse within us? Are we exploring, if we're going to continue on this fake news motif, are we exploring the information for ourselves? If we hear something, if someone shares something with us, do we say, huh, that's interesting, I should explore it myself and find out if it's true, or do we simply allow whoever's talking to inform and shape what I think and what I believe? Sometimes we call them talking heads because we can get pretty lazy and just sit on our chairs and allow them to shape what we think instead of us going out on our own, using our brains and our minds and how God has used it, and explore it and fact check ourselves. Are we using these God-given capabilities to discern? That's the big question for this morning as far as how do we love God with all of our minds. An example of this, an example of breaking off of this fake news, allowing other people to shape who we are, a biblical example is a group called the Bereans, and that's found in Acts chapter 17. Listen to this. It says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." So in this portion of Acts, the story goes, Paul is going out and he's planting churches and he's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he was killed, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. He is the person that you have been looking for, that Scripture has been speaking of, that you've been looking for. And so these Bereans listen to this message of Paul and said, "That's interesting. What do our scriptures say about this?" And their scriptures weren't what we call the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Their scripture was from Genesis through Malachi, a little different setup there. But they looked at those scriptures and they explored it every day and found out, man, is this lining up with what Paul is saying? Eagerness, as we read in this passage, that with great eagerness is a readiness of the mind. They want to just soak it in. They want to absorb it. I am so ready. This is some fascinating information that Paul is giving us. And let's consume it. And then they examined or they studied. The word examined, it means that they really didn't have a clue. Well, that sounds interesting. I'm just not sure. So rather than just let Paul speak to them and say, "Absolutely, Paul, we follow you no matter what you said," they say, "This is interesting, Paul. Let's see how it lines up with the Word of God that we know and understand." May our minds be ready. May we, like the Bereans, be eager to have this God-focused mind. What is being used to shape your mind? What are you allowing to feed into it? What do you spend your days thinking about, fantasizing about, dreaming about? Does it reflect what you are feeding your mind? The passage that we're going to look today is the one that Dan led in our singing, and it's Romans chapter 12. If you want to turn there with me. It's also going to be on the slides, I believe. Stand with me as we read from Romans chapter 12. Paul is writing to these Christians in the city of Rome. And this passage, this entire book, you could almost call it his magnum opus because it's everything. It is like the thinking man's book. He has spent the first 11 chapters outlining the message of Jesus and what it means, beginning in Adam and Abraham and passing through and leading them to this point where it is because of God's mercy that we are here, not because of anything we have done. God chose us simply because he is a choosing God. He is a loving God, not because of any merit or anything we could earn. This is all because of God's mercy. All of these 11 chapters, and I encourage you to read Romans 1 through 11 on your own time to lead up to Romans chapter 12, because he begins with a wonderful word, therefore. Chapters 1 through 11, all of this outline of how wonderful God is, the plan that he had put in place even before he created Adam and Eve and Abraham and all these guys, all of this mercy from God, because we have received this mercy, he then says in chapter 12, therefore, because of this mercy, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Another way of saying spiritual is true and proper. Another way of saying true and proper is worship that is worthy of thinking people. Your minds. He continues. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. You may be seated. So all of this is revolving around what's going on in your mind, this worship, this spiritual worship, the true and proper worship that is worthy of thinking beings. If you remember from last week, we'd call it thinking souls. That's another word for souls, thinking beings. So in verse 1, a way we could paraphrase this is that we lay our agendas aside, and we trust that God's agenda will bring us the purpose that we desire. I don't know what it was like for you growing up, but in my day as a teenager in youth group and even into college, the big question, the trend, if Twitter was around back then, it was the trending question in youth groups and young adult ministries was, what is God's will for my life? Did you ever ask that question or wonder that? What is God's will? What does he want from me? And Paul writes here in chapter 12 that when you renew your mind, you'll be able to test it. You'll be able to approve of this God's will. So we've been hardwired, we've been created with this desire to have purpose, to have meaning, that something is beyond my existence. We want to know that, as parents, what we have been pouring into our kids, or what we have poured into our kids, is going to mean something. And we look for God's will to direct that. We want how we teach them, how we speak life into them, the instruction, the correction. We want that to actually amount to something as purpose. We want to know that what we contribute at work or in society is going to lead to better things or to more meaningful things, that it's not just clicking in a time card and doing some menial service, but it actually means something. God, is this job, is this career pointing to something? Is it somehow reflecting who you are in my life? And so when Paul talks about renewing your mind, he is not simply talking about life improvement. Being a follower of Jesus is not simply about, oh, I have a better way of doing life. I have a self-help book that teaches me 7 simple things that I can improve in my life. But the transformation, the renewing of your mind, is a transformation. It's not about making us a little bit better, but it's about exchanging who we were and what we wanted with who we are now in Jesus. What does Jesus say about us now that we have believed in him, trusted in him as the Son of God, as the resurrected Savior? Who does Jesus say that we are now because of our response to that? It's exchanging that previous life for this new life in Jesus, and also what we want now with what Jesus wants us to be and do. Renewing your mind is a complete transformation. So we could ask questions such as, is it in our sleeping? Is it in our eating? How we work? Basically, how we do life. And then we give it to God. When Paul tells us to offer our lives or our existence as a living sacrifice, it's your breathing, it's your communications, it's your thinking. All of that is then given to God. God, would you transform how I do this? What I think about, what I fantasize about, what I dream about, will you be directing these things? Jesus calls this kingdom of God living, and he outlines it perfectly in Matthew chapter 5 and the following chapters and verses. We call them the Beatitudes, blessed are, and he outlines what it looks like when you allow God to be the dictator, the king, the ruler of how you think, of how you treat people, how you speak. How you consider information and what you do with that. Renewing our minds is going to be a continuous activity. It's not simply a matter of believing in Jesus, saying that he is your Savior, and then you're good for the rest of your life. It is a daily thing. It's almost a matter of where you get up every day and say, God, my mind is yours today. As it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow, this mind belongs to you. Pour into it your spirit. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You're familiar with that story? It's like the world around you has this curtain, and they don't want you to look behind the curtain because you may not like what you see. So the world around you every day is throwing influence and pressure at you and saying, pay no attention to what's behind the curtain, what's going on behind society and the reasons we do things. Don't worry about it. Isn't this a lovely curtain? Everything is well planned and in place. Don't worry about what's hidden. What Jesus did as he came to this earth, as he taught, as he lived, as he healed, as he ministered, as he died, and as he rose again, he showed us that there is a greater reality at play. And for those who believe in Jesus, who receive and accept that, then we are reminded of this greater reality. This renewing of our minds helps us reveal that Jesus is alive. He inaugurated this kingdom of God that we are living in right now. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be the ones who says, yeah, I don't buy that curtain any longer. There's something behind it, and it isn't as cool as what you were saying it is. Treating people the way you think I should treat, the way that I see on TV and all my peers, that isn't the way life was originally supposed to be. Thinking about these sort of things, looking at these kind of images, this is not kingdom of God living, and I'm going to live the rest of my life showing you what life is truly about. But every moment of every day, there are forces against this kingdom of God. And you feel it, you hear it, you see it. Everywhere there are these forces pushing back against this kingdom of God reality. They try to convince you that the curtain is all there is. Just play along. Everything is going to be fine. See, everyone else is just fine living this way. So go back to what you used to be like. Go back to how things were. And it's so easy for us as followers of Jesus. It's so easy because that's all we see in front of us. All this pressure is like, you know what? You're right. And we forget that through Jesus we have put to death our former self. We're resurrected in new life.
We can live in this kingdom of God reality. Because you see, what happens, our minds have the ability to adapt to whatever is surrounding it. It's one of those things, if you were to move to Canada and you were to spend, what, 5 years, 10 years, maybe even less, living in Canada, the way you talk is going to change. You're going to start saying, eh? You move to the South, you move to Australia, the environment in which you surround yourself is going to affect your mind, and it's going to come out of you. So the question we ask ourselves this morning, what are we surrounding ourselves with? As followers of Jesus, what are we surrounding ourselves with that is coming out despite how hard we try to hide it? It's just a curtain. Don't look behind the curtain. Our mind has the ability to adapt. We have the ability to conform with the environment and this mindset. We can fall back on what we used to be or what those around us are projecting. And if you wonder, if you doubt that, just think about what happens when you get angry. How do you behave when you lose your cool? That's a pretty good indicator of what's filling your mind. So renewing your mind is an ongoing thing. God wants us to always remember and then move forward. Why do we celebrate special days? Why do we celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, Mother's Day? Have you ever wondered that? Why do we celebrate these days? You know. All right. Share with us. And life? Very good. Nobody else knew that, did you? Or what about, and for some of you it was a long time ago, when you were dating. Did you ever celebrate, and I'm trying to think if I did because it bugs me when I hear about this. I have to put my Bible down so God doesn't strike me down. Did you ever celebrate your month anniversary? Show of hands. Anybody? We've been together 1 month. Why didn't you get me anything? Now, no offense. Please don't get angry if you enjoy that, because there is something to be said about celebrating anniversaries and special days because we remember things, right? For birthdays, we remember the day you were born. We celebrate that. It's a way of remembering. And moms think about this is what happened. But for the rest of us, we think of this is awesome. And then we think of what's to come. We move forward. When you think of anniversaries, you think, oh, 14 years, 15 years, 6 years, 3 years. This is what marriage life was like. And, oh, man, 20 more, 30 more, 50 more years together. We think ahead. We remember what was, and then we think ahead. And it's a celebration. It's something that actually happened. On this day, you were actually born. It's a reality, and then we look forward to what's to come. The people of Israel have, and they used to have, and they currently still celebrate special days, ways of remembering momentous acts of God working in their history. It's their way of remembering, this is where we were, this is how God acted, and this is what we are looking forward to. So, lead that to our next question. Why do we meet on Sundays, week after week? Why do we come here? Why do we gather in this place? Are you hoping for more free pizza? Are you hoping for chocolate bunnies? Are you hoping for some special Mother's Day thing? My hope and my prayer for everyone who comes back to Gilead Friends, whether you've been here for decades, eons, whether you've been here for just a couple weeks. My hope is that it becomes, we gather in this place as a way of us remembering that Jesus rose from the dead. It actually happened. And we are looking forward with our friends and brothers and sisters with us. We are looking forward to what's to come. And we celebrate it. That's why we call our Sunday morning times a celebration. We are remembering an actual event and looking forward to what's to come. And our minds are fed with that. We surround ourselves with that. This celebration and this thinking and this mindset then leads to action. Because what we think about and what we feed into our minds becomes action. It becomes what comes out of us. We come here because for many of us, if not all of us, can we admit that life can be hard? That when commercial life comes at you fast, things happen that are beyond our control. And we need that reminder. We come at 10:30 and we sit and we sing and we enjoy the sound of other people singing and laughing and clapping and praying because we need that reminder that that actually happened. Jesus did, in fact, return from the dead. He overcame this scary thing called death. And we believe that following him, he's just the first of many, that we are going to follow him in resurrection. Throughout our week, that pull, that pressure, that life is just the curtain and nothing more can be incredibly strong as it wants us to pull us back to what life used to be like instead of showing the world what life could be like and how we respond. Moment by moment, forces slam into our minds, tempting us to forget about the kingdom of God. Stop celebrating. Stop having those birthdays, those anniversaries. Forget about it. Just stop. Stop remembering. What good is it? Forget about the life that Jesus proclaimed. Forget about the life that Jesus lived. Forget about how good life in the kingdom actually can be when you allow Jesus to be loved with all of your mind. Because all this other stuff, the world is saying, all of this other stuff is right before you. It's here right now, and you can enjoy it right now. Isn't it great? Isn't it better to have the curtain and not worry about anything else? The world says, embrace these patterns. Paul calls them the patterns of this world. Embrace how we respond to people we disagree with. Embrace how we treat people that we think are different than us. It's so much easier. By renewing our mind, loving God with all of our mind, we are jumping into an exhilarating adventure. You're being empowered. You are being equipped to reveal God and his kingdom with everything you are and with everything you do. When you allow God to feed into your mind, Paul calls them heavenly things that you think about. You are given tools to become and to make active disciples of Jesus. God has given each one of you tools of how you express this, of how you think about it. Part of it is this continuous engagement with God through the Bible. Part of it is a continuous engagement through prayer. And part of it is a continuous engagement with connecting to people. Now hear me on this, because this is where we're going to start winding things down. What I am not saying, and I've heard preachers be accused of this time and time again, I am not saying all you have to do is read your Bible more. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you today, as you fill your mind with God and you love God with all your mind, I am simply saying, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to open it and read it. I'm not telling you, oh, you just have to read it more. I'm saying at this point, Read it. A good place to start is the book of Mark, the third book of the New Testament. You got Matthew, or no, the second. In my Bible, they switch things around, so it's Matthew, John, Mark. I don't know why. It's like second book of the New Testament, Mark. Read the Gospel of Mark. Why? Because I like it. I like it so much I forgot where it was placed. But the Gospel of Mark is my favorite gospel of the four. Right, there are four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's my favorite. And the only thing I can think of why is because Mark is just, it's action-oriented. There's no little filler things. It's not like when you watch a TV show, they have filler episodes that don't amount to anything. No. Mark is just all about the action. Jesus did this, and then the disciples went here, and then after that they went here. It's just action-oriented. And for my brain and my thinking, I love it. It's fascinating. I love reading the Gospel of Mark. Maybe you're more in tune with the TV show Game of Thrones. Any Game of Thrones fans here? If you like the Game of Thrones, may I suggest 1 and 2 Samuel of the Old Testament? Game of Thrones, Mr. Martin, has nothing on the crazy chaos, horrible things that happened in the books and the stories of 1 and 2 Samuel. Just read your Bible. If your thing is romantic comedy, may I suggest a book called The Song of Songs or Song of Solomon. And the reason I say romantic comedy is because I cannot imagine anyone saying those words to their spouse or significant other without them laughing in your face. If you haven't read it, go home and read it and you'll find out what I'm talking about. You're described as trees and fawns and you're like, really? People used to talk that way and that worked? Just read your Bible. Start this afternoon, Book of Mark. So I'm not just saying read more, just read it. I'm not saying that you should pray more. That's not the kind of pastor I am. All you have to do is just pray more. If you just increase your praying, for today I'm saying start praying. Part of my responsibility and role as a pastor is to equip you to do things that I talk about. So in your bulletin, you have this bookmark. Can you hold it out so I see everybody's not asleep and you're paying attention? This is a bookmark that you can keep in your Bible, in your books, on your refrigerator, and it is a guide to what you can pray for every day of the week. Imagine this. Imagine this. Imagine if we were all in agreement that when we pray on Monday, we know that the people of Gilead Friends will be praying together for missions and missionaries. How empowering would that be in your mind? How empowering would it be that when we get to Friday, we know that every one of Gilead Friends is going to be praying for our church and the ministries of this church? How is that going to impact how you pray? Now, I'm not saying when you should pray. I'm just saying here, just a simple, easy tool for you to keep in front of you as people of Gilead Friends. This is how we can pray during the week. Maybe as a family before dinner, you pray these prayers instead of the prayer that you always pray before dinner. How many of you have the same prayer that you pray every time before you eat? You say the same words, right? It just becomes a ritual. What if you start praying these things? What if we started praying for your friends, your relatives, people who don't go to church, who have not heard about Jesus? And we know as people of Gilead Friends that every one of us in this church here this morning, we're going to be praying together on this day for these things. I'm not saying that you should spend more time in ministry or go to another Sunday school class or another life group when it starts in the fall again. What I am saying today is, if you're not involved in a ministry, if you're not involved in a Sunday school or a life group when it starts, try it. Try one. You can go to our website, GileadFriendsChurch.org, and we have a drop-down list of ministries that you can explore. We have a ministry right now, it's happening right now, called Little Gilead for our kids, our sons and daughters, and it is growing. It is a beautiful, wonderful thing. It is growing to the point where they need extra hands and help. The term that they use is helpers. And basically, all it is to be a helper is you're there. You're there to go get things. You don't have to teach anything. You don't have to lead anybody in some Jesus prayer. You're just there to make sure nobody beats up on anybody else. Because it's growing, and they need the help. So don't get involved in more things if you're not involved and you're a regular attender of Gilead Friends. Try one. We have another drop-down list of Sunday school life groups that happen in the fall. Renewing your mind, loving God with all of your mind, it empowers you to be active participants in his kingdom. Active participants in how you respond to who he is and what he has done. It's part of the process through which the Spirit of God equips you to identify how you respond to circumstances. And it begins to change as you allow the agenda, the Spirit of God, to fill you and your mind and your heart and your soul and your strength. You will begin to respond differently to the world around you. So what are you feeding your mind? What have you been feeding? What have you been spending your time consuming throughout your day and your week? As I asked before, where do you mentally go when you're deep in thought and you're imagining? Do you go to a dark place that if it were to be shared out loud, it'd be kind of scary? Do you go to a place where God is revealed and honored and glorified, of what could be, of what will be? Are you aware of the battle between the patterns of this world bombarding you in order for you to fall back on what Paul calls your previous life instead of renewing your mind every day? Let me close with this illustration. We have lots of moms in here. How many cups of milk do you go through a day? Or did you used to go through a day? In my house, we go through 2 gallons of milk, probably not even a week. These boys just consume milk. So, I have this lovely cup of milk here. I'm going to keep that on so I don't spill it right now. This cup of milk is you. All right? You're with me on this? You say, no, that's silly. I am not a cup of milk. For this illustration, this is you. It's a evangelical friend's cup, so it's all good. And I can't open it. Oh, there we go. All right. Full of milk. I'm not going to smell it. It's been sitting there for a while. Sometimes you can get stinky. So, the cup of milk is you. Chocolate syrup, Jesus. Yeah? Some of you are like, just give it in here, Jesus. Just get in here, right? He's sweet. Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? How many of you moms, when you get milk, your kids are like, just get me the chocolate milk. I want the chocolate milk. All right, so this is us, this is Jesus, and we come to this point where, Jesus, we want you in my life. We accept who you are, Jesus. Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. All right. Wait a minute. Nothing's really changed. I mean, it's kind of sitting there, but I mean, you can go through life with your hand like this and put the curtain around there and be like, yeah, life is great. Jesus is in my life. But what difference has been made? Has he filled your mind? Are you loving him with all of your soul, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength? No, I got Jesus in my life. Isn't that all that matters? And yet you find yourself responding in ways that you always respond. Nothing's changed. Nothing's different. But I have Jesus in my life. Why isn't anything changing? What are you feeding your mind? What are you surrounding yourself with? Are you surrendering every compartment of your life. Are you allowing Jesus to go into your closets of your heart, of your mind, of the secret place and say, Jesus, just come on, just go in there and be real. Mix in with this so that it's no longer me. I don't know if you can see this very well, but it's chocolate milk now. You have to mix it. You have to let Jesus get in there. So it's no longer you and your white milk. But now it's chocolate milk. And chocolate milk tastes so much better, doesn't it? It makes things so much better. So take this illustration with you. Yeah, you can have Jesus in your life, but until you surrender everything, you say, Jesus, I want you in the crooks and the crannies and the nooks and the every space of me. We could even have fun with it and say, make me chocolate milk. I want to be that sweet stuff that influences the world around me. Will you stand with me as we close? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have a Savior who is alive, who continues to influence our lives, and who calls us daily to renew our minds as we fight against the pressures and the forces of the patterns of this world. Would your Spirit come and give us strength, encouragement to allow you, your Spirit, to move in ways that we have not allowed you to move. Maybe there are some here today, Father, who have trusted in you, who have said, I believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, but it hasn't become real. It's just kind of sitting there in the bottom of their gut, and you need to stir them up. There's areas in our lives that how we respond is not reflective of loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul and strength. Father, in the funness of the illustration, God, would you make each one of us into chocolate milk for the world around us? To be that good influence that only comes because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. When we grab a hold of that, surrender our agenda, ask forgiveness from our sins. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. Go in God's pleasure and His peace. You're dismissed.